Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome to Free Talk Live. Phones are open. However, we do have a special guest on the line, so if you're calling in about something unrelated to our guest, you're going to have to hold out. You're going to have to wait until whenever we are done with that, which we will be, I'm sure, at some point, that we can get to the news and the comments and the usual open phones that we do here on Free Talk Live 7 nights a week. Big news today in the world of cryptocurrency. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is now going after the biggest cryptocurrency exchange on the planet, Binance. And this is, by the way, following the CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, already suing Binance like a month ago. So Binance is now tied up with both of the federal regulatory agencies who are claiming jurisdiction over cryptocurrencies in massive, massive lawsuits. So that's still to come here.
And every little thing tonight. The U.S. government does in this regard, it just makes them look more and more like a desperate animal backed into a corner, lashing out because it doesn't know what else to do.
They are all of those things. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
And we know they're violent. We know they're desperate. We know they're evil. And that's one of the reasons why we all moved here to New Hampshire. As part of a freedom migration that has been going on here for about 20 years. And we're going to talk about the Porcupine Freedom Festival with the organizer of this year's and previous Porcupine Freedom Festivals. His name is Dennis Pratt, calling us from Dover, the east side of the state, the seacoast area of New Hampshire. Welcome, Dennis.
Hello, Ian, Bonnie, and Aria.
What's up, Dennis?
That's the problem with living all the way over here, is that we can't actually get over to Keene all that easily.
No, it's 2 hours. It's
even
like in New Hampshire,
Concord,
2 hours is just so far away.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, but you don't want to do it regularly, right?
No, it's, it is a lot of gas to get over there. But it's good to have you here. We've talked, of course, we've had John from, to talk about Pork Fest before, although I think this is the first time we've brought you in via our video option, which we now have. You look good. You can watch our video feed, by the way, over at watch.freetalklive.com. And we've talked about some of the things that are going on at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is really hard to get a hold of because there's hundreds and hundreds and maybe even 1,000-plus events that are happening there. This is, of course, what I've called in recent days or recent weeks the world's most, I guess, popular liberty event. I think it's it has outstripped Anarchapulco. I think for a time Anarchapulco had that title as far as the number of attendees. And I think that within the last couple of years, the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival, the summertime camping festival that happens here every year for the last 20 years, this will be the 20th one, has knocked out Anarchapulco. Well, you guys hit close to, what was it, 3,000 people last year?
Yeah, no, we had about 2,700 tickets, and we had about 1,900 come through, or at least register at the gate. So it's always hard because a lot of people don't even bother registering. They just come and enjoy the festival throughout the whole place.
Yeah, that sounds like libertarians. And I choose to call it the world's premier libertarian festival because then I don't have to worry about it being, I don't have to worry about popularity or numbers or anything like that. I'm just like, hey, this is the biggest and best, I guess.
It's the only one that's really meaningful. I mean, I'm not trying to down what other people do. Anarchapulco is a great party in Mexico if you're looking for a fun, you know, excuse to get out of the United States and go have a blast down south. I mean,
but from what we learned from the anarchists, the HBO thing, it doesn't seem like they have as much of an actual community that goes on there that we have.
Right, that's the point I was driving at, is that Porcupine Freedom Festival is the most meaningful libertarian event.
I mean, it's the best sleepover with your friends that you can have.
You're referencing the prosecution's objection to why I can't go this year, at least for the whole thing. But it's meaningful because there's an actual community
that is in the thousands. Now, Anarchapulco, it might have been in the dozens at one point, but that, I don't think it ever cracked, you know, 100 people or whatever living down there. And, of course, that's a city of hundreds of thousands
of
people.
That's another thing that made me really question why they chose that place. Like, I mean, sure, get away.
I think it was just Jeff Berwick, honestly. I think it was, and that's the other thing with some of these other, let's call them projects or whatever you want to call them. Yeah, move here projects that are out there that have been competing with the Free State Project is a lot of them are sort of cult of personality projects where there's this one, you know, personality that is attracting a certain type of individual, and they come to follow that one person. I think Blue Ridge Liberty was a good example of this, which is where people moved to...
Virginia?
Was it Virginia?
Yeah, the Blue Ridge Mountains are in Virginia.
No, I think it was North Carolina. Oh. I think it was...
Maybe they go through all of it.
It was Asheville. Asheville, North Carolina. There was several dozen people that move there.
Boy, you're going to do a lot with several dozen people.
Because
that's the problem
guy.
With all of these migration projects, and it makes me irrationally angry. Actually, it's rationally angry because it's futile and it's effort. But people hear about the Free State Project, go, that's great. Let's do Free State Louisiana or Free State Florida. Hey, how about instead of immediately going and trying to do your own thing, you join us doing our already successful and in progress thing, and we don't divide our energy across. I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well just vote for the National Libertarian Party as all of your activism, because the two things are just as effective.
It's constant. I don't understand how you can understand that concentration means concentration.
It seems so basic. And Dennis, I've seen you on Twitter. You're dealing with these objections all the time.
Yep,
I mean, how frustrating is it for you as, you know, activist of the year, I think, of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance last year to look online and see libertarians struggling so hard for absolutely no reason. And then, you know, to completely not get it when it comes to this movement.
Okay, so this is my 42nd year of libertarianism. I spent a lot of time slamming my head up against the wall. And so my heart actually goes out to a lot of these people. And I understand the concern and the desire that they, you know, they don't have to move. You know, wouldn't it be nice if I could have a Free State Project right in my backyard? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I don't have to move. You know, I don't have to change jobs. I don't have to, I don't have to convince, if they are my friends. By the way, what is the language? What is the language requirements on this program?
Oh, we're on the radio. So when in doubt, leave it out. I would
gotcha.
Say is the best way to approach it.
Okay, and am I on a delay? Because
no, I mean you're on a delay on the radio. So if you were to screw up, we can save it. We can stop.
Okay.
We can stop it. But we prefer not to have to hit the dump button. So we have a 5-second delay here. So
okay, thank you. Just I would like to have a little bit of cushion there because I may mess up. Because you know, I mean, are they really your friends? Can authoritarians be your friends?
Was this the topic of your rant last year at Porkfest?
It was my the topic of my rant two years ago, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, last year was come and build a libertarian homeland.
That's right.
Two years ago was they're not your effing friends.
That's it. As you know, it left a mark on me. I remember that one very, very well.
Well, as was revealed, I suspect you were referring to COVID, revealing that many of these people who you might have gone to the bar with after work or whatever in whatever city you lived in actually were turning against people who were of a liberty mindset and turning them out from their friends groups specifically because they wouldn't get a COVID shot or they wouldn't wear a mask or whatever, right? Was that part of the inspiration for that?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody does not respect you as a human being, does not respect you as an autonomous, sovereign person, can they actually be your friend? If they believe that they can enslave you through a proxy government, can they actually be your friend? Or do they see you in some fashion as a psychopath sees you, as a tool of their desire for some sort of benefit in the future? That was my rant 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, each year I have a good rant. So
That's true. I'll vouch for that.
So you you got caught up in organizing the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and and that is something I would
entrapped,
not wish.
I think entrapped.
Yeah, and
the
I've
word.
Said this to you before. I would not wish that on anyone because it is a having organized some things myself. I used to put together a much smaller event called Keenvention out here a few years before the feds raided us the first time, and that just basically made me say, you know what, I don't have time for this. But we did a few of them out here, and so, you know, knowing a little bit about organizing an event, there's a lot going on, especially one the size of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There's always a lot of plates that are spinning all at the same time, and you as the primary organizer, you have to kind of deal with all that. Now, you started out, I think, in a different role. Weren't you kind of like an assistant organizer when the Paxtons were doing Porkfest several years ago, and you kind of worked your way up?
That's right. I just moved here, and I was looking for kind of a place to set up. Luckily, Jessica Paxton was looking for somebody to take over a large part of her particular year. And I came in. What I wanted to do is I wanted to shift us more towards highlighting porcupines. Highlighting what we were doing. I had just moved here, and so I went around and just basically started going and saying, who's doing what? And I was going around interviewing people and saying, hey, would you mind talking about that at Porkfest? And so we actually had one of the highest porcupine-led Porkfest ever, and that's how I made my mark. It was really more feeding my own curiosity about what was going on here and thinking that we really should be offering that at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And everyone loved it. You know, the porcupines loved it, but also, even more importantly, our real target segments, the target segments that, you know, the movers. You say I'm organizer. I really kind of consider myself a redesigner of Porkfest. Mm-hmm. And I made some very significant changes over the years to Porkfest. Repositioning it, redesigning it, retargeting it. Yeah, that's basically my background is in the design of new products. And I use those techniques to really kind of go after people who were kind of ignored. On all my measures, I'm very high. It's been extremely successful. We're more than double the size of Porkfest before, more than seven times the number of events. And even more importantly, the things that I was really concerned with was that amongst the really hardcore libertarians, the Free State Project and Porkfest just were not elements. We're not things that they were thinking about. And now we are, you know, much more commonly talked about. It's become one of these things of where they're really fear of missing out. I'm very happy with how we've used that. There's been a couple of other elements of that thing of kind of getting away from the Cato and Reason segments. Mm-hmm. And moving more towards
the Beltway libertarian types, you mean?
That's right. Yeah. And my argument originally was that, you know, these are not our targets. We should not be targeting these people. They're easy. They're easier to get. These smaller segments are much harder to get. But the more that we go after the secessionists, the Freedom Cells, the Mises Caucus, people like that, the anarcho-capitalists, the people, the more that we're going after them rather than the people who are arguing 32% versus 28% taxation, 32% versus 28%, if you think that that's your core issue, you're not moving. I can tell you right now. Mm-hmm. We should leave you, we should not be expending our resources there. We should be expending the resources of people who understand that libertarianism is ultimately an abolitionist movement. That is what we're doing. We are taking the last step. We've gotten rid of, we've gotten rid of private chattel slavery. We still have this 6,000-year history of slavery to rulers. And everyone thinks, except libertarians, everyone thinks that that's acceptable. And that's our goal. The people who really, really desire that, you know, those are the people I want to move here. People who are more conservative, I think there's great places in Florida and Texas to move to, Indiana, Idaho, and the you know, progressives, they have lots of great states.
I mean, if you're a conservative, there's just no reason to work on a project to get people together. Just move to Texas. Texas is great for conservatives right now. No work to be done.
Right. They hate personal freedoms in Texas. So I got to agree so far with everything that you've said, Dennis. I totally agree that content at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, at least on the official stage, because there's all kinds of unofficial things going on out there, should be focused on porcupines, specifically people here in New Hampshire. And I got to agree that we shouldn't be pandering to the Beltway libertarians. So far, we completely agree on this. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on was because there have been so many disagreements, as there always are. I mean, this has been going on since long before, you know, Dennis Pratt organized the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
I mean, look, a week ago, you, me, and Bonnie had a mild disagreement about whether or not touching someone on the shoulder it constitutes aggression. Like,
we
libertarians
did.
Love
we had it out about that
arguing.
I want to get into some of that here, but I want to get a little bit more of your background. You know, you said you just moved just several years ago. When did you come up here, and where did you come from?
I'm born and raised in New York City.
Oh God! So
a troubled teen in Jersey.
You don't sound like you're from New York City.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah, I'm from Manhattan.
Okay,
which is a little bit different from Brooklyn.
I see.
Different from Queens.
Yep.
Different from Long Island. I used to have this debate with all the college people. I went to college in. I went undergrad and grad at Northwestern and grad at MIT, but at Northwestern there were a lot of people from Long Island, and they would say, "You're not from New York. You can't be from New York," and because they all had that very Long Island type of sound.
Like,
I said, I'm from the only place that you can put New York, New York, and it actually arrives. The letter actually arrives.
Okay.
Wow.
There's different accents throughout the entire city.
So you must have been within the libertarian community there at the time. You said you were 40-plus year libertarian, so you must have been active in the city, right? What was that like?
No. I was a democratic socialist for for my teen years and my early, basically through 22, 23 or something like that. I was very strong on the left, very anti-war.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where I come from. I came from the anti-war left, and that's why I'm so upset with what the left has been doing.
They left the anti-war thing behind.
And you know, it's just, you know, I have to say I think that a lot of the libertarians have left. I mean, I go, how can we be in our third decade and this still is going on? And it's not really a third decade. This constant war has been going on for so long, and I can't stop it. It is something that just bothers me so much.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my background. I was working out of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. I was probably the only socialist in at the Mercantile Exchange.
That's like
trading.
Wall Street, right? That's a Wall Street job?
No, it's trading commodities.
Okay.
So I was actually arbitraging gold across different markets between the New York market and the Chicago market. My boss left to, he left to start up a company. The first person he had hired was me, which was really interesting because he was like an arch conservative and he knew I was like this democratic socialist. Hmm. We basically argued. So we would be in a startup situation 7 days a week, you know, long hours. And the way we would take breaks would be arguing like you guys arguing. But what was very strange was that, we both really were, logically consistent. That would really matter to us. And so when the other person pointed out a logical inconsistency, we would, we couldn't let it go.
I think that's the thing that is why libertarians like to quote unquote argue is because we all practice being logical and it's fun for us. Like, I hate when people point it out and try to say, like, libertarians always, there's always drama. There's always drama. Like, sure, it's sometimes there's drama in every group at any time you look at them, but I don't think it's necessarily that libertarians like quote-unquote drama. I think that it's like we like to talk out arguments. Like, we've been thinking about this for years or whatever, and now we want to talk it out with somebody, and can you break my logic? Nope, I win. You know, I mean, it's fun.
Well, one of the problems, of course, is on Twitter, you don't have a real conversation with somebody most of the time.
Exactly.
And then it ends up snipes in a point, and then somebody else.
Or just the internet in general. Whenever you're texting over text.
Well, Twitter in particular, and that's one of the reasons I love Twitter, because it's got the 280 character limit, and whoever...
Unless you pay them, then
yes,
you have
4,000. Whoever allowed that should be fired.
Yeah, the
it should be a hard limit. If you can't say it within 280 characters, it doesn't belong on Twitter.
I'm pretty sure that was Elon Musk.
Then fire him. I don't care to use TwitLonger or the thread unravel thing or the click to show more thing. Take that crap to Facebook or Tumblr or WordPress or Blogspot or wherever, just not for the literal microblogging site that is meant for shorter messages. Because it trains people where they don't have to learn to condense their message into fewer words. So they can just ramble endlessly and say in 4,000 words something that could have been said in 40.
Well, that said, there are some problems when you don't have the ability to express yourself fully. Let's see. So you were in New York City. You started as a socialist, which kind of makes sense, right? You're surrounded by that probably.
I started as a communist. Well, not really, but I was once a communist.
And that changed for you at some point. You know, can you kind of take us back to that point in your 20s?
Yeah, well, that was during the startup. And so he was economically conservative, but he was definitely Pax Americana. And he was also not into body freedom. I was very heavy body freedom and you know, you've got to end these damn wars. And I thought that the money should just all flow to the government and we give it out equitably.
Mm-hmm. When you say body freedom, what do you mean?
Well, that you own your own body. That's how I would frame it today. I wouldn't have framed it then.
Right.
That's the libertarian ethics
I guess,
coming through.
What aspect of that was he against? Like, was he pro-life or against tattoos or what?
Yeah, he would be laws against drugs, laws against how you use your body.
I see.
So he actually thought that you could create, you ought to be able to create laws to enforce cultural norms.
Oh God.
Right,
he's conservative.
So,
yeah, it's conservative.
He's conservative. He was an arch conservative, but I mean, it's funny because you know, I actually dislike Twitter. I know Ari just made a big case for it because I don't think that Twitter is something that can actually convince people or explain what this gigantic paradigm shift is. For libertarianism.
Well, you're a big Quora guy. You used to be like one of the top libertarian people.
I was
Quora,
the top.
Right? Yeah,
I was the top writer on libertarians on Quora, and I wrote lengthy pieces, but it was all, yes, I understand how hard this is. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through it.
But Dennis, right? I've told you before, I really like how you communicate on Twitter because you have these little short sentences that almost get put pieced together, and then you can understand a lot from the things you've chosen to highlight, basically. I don't know. You have a way of making something say a lot more than the letters that you have there.
And to be fair, I don't have any issue with, like, longer messages. I just don't think that Twitter is the place for it.
All right.
That's all.
Stand by, Dennis. We're going to continue here. Dennis Pratt is with us. He is the current boss over at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. What does that actually mean, though? What sort of things does he have control over at this festival? Because one of the things that was done right with the Porcupine Freedom Festival in recent years is there's been a heavy decentralization. I think that was the right choice. We'll talk about it coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Thank you. USA News update. Former Vice President Mike Pence officially filed paperwork today to run for president in 2024, joining a competitive field of Republican candidates seeking the nomination. Over the past few months, Pence has been actively visiting key early primary states. China's military is becoming increasingly aggressive in the Taiwan Strait and South China Sea, and that's not sitting well with the U.S.
We're going to continue to keep the lines open with the Chinese to make it clear how unacceptable those particular intercepts are.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said a Chinese warship came dangerously close to a U.S. Navy destroyer over the weekend. Apple stock soared to an all-time high today following the launch of its own mixed reality headset. The company unveiled updates and new products at its annual Worldwide Developers Conference. Throughout today's session, Apple's shares surged by 1.5% on Wall Street. Year to date, the stock has risen 39%. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. The phones are not quite open all the way. I mean, you can call in if you have a question about the Porcupine Freedom Festival, the, I would say, as Aria pointed out, the world's premier liberty-oriented festival that goes on. It's bigger than any libertarian convention. It's not a convention because it's not in a hotel. It's at a campground. It's at Rogers Campground. And it's coming up. We didn't even mention this. Porkfest.com is, of course, where you can go because tickets are still available.
Are they?
This, as I understand it, at least as of the last time I was watching Free State Live.
My friends got theirs about a month ago.
Yeah, so Dennis, give us a ticket update. What are we looking at? Dennis Pratt is with us here. It's Ian, Bonnie, and Aria in the studio tonight. How's the sales coming along?
Yeah, so when I first redesigned it, well, you know, I was the first couple of years I was testing things, and then I redesigned it, and I remember telling the group over at ForkFest. I'm hoping that we're talking to about that the Telegram group there, and I would tell them, I'd say, you know, look, guys, I don't think you realize what's happening here. You know, I'm selling a lot of tickets. We're going to sell out the campground. Oh, we'll never sell out the campground. The campground won't be sold out. And, we sold out the campground. And then At some point, I had to kind of make a decision about what the maximum number was. We didn't know what the number should be.
Mm-hmm.
We never thought that we'd hit a maximum. The maximum has to do with sewage and water.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really what controls it. And we had no idea what would break and what wouldn't break. And
well, we've seen things break on that campground at way less than 2,000. I mean, there were pipes breaking, and you know, years ago there was a couple campsites where you know sewage was coming up. Now the campground did a good job of handling that as soon as possible, but yeah, there's only so much the infrastructure on this campground can hold. Which, by the way, is the largest campground in the state of New Hampshire. It does not get bigger than Rogers Campground. This is it. Unless somebody else goes out and builds a brand new campground or buys Rogers and then, you know, tears some more trees down or something to make some more room. This is as big as it can get. And you said that it's sold out as far as the campground. The campground is this year. Bonnie confirmed
that happened right
this.
Away. I mean, that happened
yeah,
really quickly. Like, basically, when Porkfest 2022 ended, people were like, there was rumors that it was already sold out, but I was like number 17 on the waiting list a couple weeks ago when I
to get a campsite, you mean? To get an RV site or something?
In
like
either
that.
Site, whatever comes open.
And yeah. For anyone curious how this can happen, it's because there's a lot of smaller hotels and Airbnbs and stuff like that around Rogers Campground where one can come during the day and then sleep elsewhere. So even if the campsites and the motel room and all of that are, like, sold out, there's still a nearby hotel that people can stay at.
Maybe.
Usually.
Have you heard anything about the hotel status? I mean, is there any, are people
yeah,
using...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, some hotel rooms just opened up. I just saw... You know, there are 5 rooms at one of the places. I was going, really? There's 5 rooms there? But they just opened up.
They're going to go fast.
People drop out for various reasons and stuff like that. So I highly recommend get on wait list. Things move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are still going to be moving. Right now, you know, people are going to be making some decisions. They're going to say, hey, should I pack up and go to the most awesome libertarian convention in the world, festival in the world? Am I, you know, is that something that I really want to do, this week-long immersion to Liberty Village? Or do I want to stay home and watch the Golden Girls rerun? And you'll be surprised to find out how many libertarians decide that Golden Girls reruns are more important than going and actually experiencing this thing that they... I mean, you know, when we become libertarians, I never finished the story as to how I became libertarian.
Okay, thank you.
When we become libertarians, it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a transformation. And I remember, I mean, what happened was we argued and over time, you know, my wife threatened to divorce me and all that type of stuff because she had married a socialist and she came from kind of a leftist, family. And so I was like kind of a triumph. And then she was going, you know, if you keep going down this path, I don't think we can stay together. And I was going, but is what I'm saying illogical? You know, I was like going, you know, total libertarian on her. I go, you know, does this not make sense? And she didn't really care because she was scared of being ostracized. So, you know, there's a number of characteristics that I use for whether someone can actually convert to libertarianism, and definitely ability to withstand social ostracization is one of them. That you will still do what you think is right despite what the crowd says. You know, it's logical consistency, you know, social, I think it's called disagreeableness, but being willing to be disagreeable, being willing to go against the crowd. We finally got to a point, my conservative friend and I, where, we weren't disagreeing and, you know, it was just shocking. We were going, well, you know, it's not fun working anymore because we can't argue about anything. We actually have agreement. But we thought we had invented something new.
Oh, really?
And it was about 6 months later that I actually saw on the Chicago bus, the snow was there, it was sloshing back and forth. I was staring down just kind of vacantly. I was reading up this leaflet upside down and said something, and I was like looking at it. I was going, oh, my God. I pick it up. It's dripping wet, and I jump out of the bus. I find a payphone. I was going around the loop. So out of Chicago.
I called my friend. Okay, got it.
And I call up my friend. I say, I know what we are. There's a name for what we are. We're libertarians. And that was the first time I had heard it. You know, a few months later, I made it to a libertarian convention, which was, you know, it was so disappointing for me because they were all kind of from the conservative side. You know, it's already lonely enough. Mm-hmm. But you see this beauty, right? You see this beauty, and you know, and for me, I was going, oh my God, everything that I really hoped for in terms of the poor, in terms of minorities, you know, we can actually achieve this. We can actually get this. And you get so excited. And so you try to do this conversion. And, you know, you do it over and over, and it's just so hard. And so, you know, this is a long story just to say my heart goes out to all those people who don't realize that they are stuck in the authoritarian 49,
mm-hmm.
that they're not going to convince their Thanksgiving table,
nope.
let alone their entire state. You know, I mean, what I do on Twitter is, you know, people say, oh, well, we'll convert this state. And so I say, and I just work it out mathematically. What does that mean? You know, in 125 years, you're going to be where New Hampshire is now. You know, I work it out mathematically for them. So, you know, that assumes we have, enough libertarians right. to actually get to that point.
Yeah. The other you can't give them too much credit in the other 49 states. Because the thing is, I've always called it the brain drain here, the libertarian brain drain, because we attract the best and the brightest of the liberty movement from across, you know, not just the United States, but in many cases, people come from all over the world to be here in New Hampshire as part of, you know, the Free State Project and the migration. So everybody that's come here has come from somewhere else. So those somewhere else's don't have these thousands
going down at the same time.
Of people. Yeah. And so they're not replacing these great activists with people who are just as good. If they're replacing them at all, they're replacing them with newbies who have no experience.
That's the most annoying part, because most of these people that say, oh, why don't we do it in my state, in Louisiana or whatever, I don't even think they realize that there's not enough libertarian. Like, the thing is that most of the time I don't see them talking about converting their whole state. I did see one specifically saying, oh, we can all move to Mississippi, and they're already halfway there, and we can convert all of Mississippi, which is absolutely ridiculous. It was coming from someone from Texas who probably just had never been to Mississippi or something.
I'm from Mississippi. It's nowhere near libertarian.
Right. This was absolute ignorance. But most of the time, I think that they just think, oh, people should just start moving to my state. It's like, what, you think you're going to poach our people that we've been moving to New Hampshire?
Not going to happen.
I think it's absolutely true that you can't just start trying to convert people who don't have any interest in it. I think that if you start putting out seeds, people start asking you questions, you can work on those people. But just to think you can just change everyone around you just because you are right, even if you're completely right.
I wish that
right,
were true.
I mean, doesn't happen.
There was a time when I thought that, you know, a lot of people were secretly libertarian. They just didn't know what it was. And then COVID showed me the truth. And that is that
I think
we're
that doesn't make sense, because that's like saying that libertarianism is a gene or something. But I do think mm-hmm. that lots of people have the ability to reason within themselves, and it's just never been taught to them because public schools don't actually teach the trivium. They don't teach reasoning and logic. But I don't think that makes sense to say somebody's libertarian and don't know it. That doesn't make sense to me anymore. I used to kind of think that made sense, but it doesn't make sense because it's like saying libertarianism is like a gene, and it's just not.
It just means they wouldn't want to control other people, and they just don't give any thought to what their political identity is.
But maybe right now they do want to control other people, but they just haven't thought it through logically.
I think that's what the case that Ian was making.
No, I'm saying, like, you could be somebody that absolutely is completely dead wrong in every way. I used to think Mexicans were coming over to take our land and Islam should be banned from America. I was dead wrong. I wasn't mm-hmm. like, well, I don't want to control people, but I just don't know what libertarianism is. I was dead wrong, very mm-hmm. bad right-winger. Police are good. We need laws, things like that. I just got it explained to me, and the main thing was I wanted to know what my beliefs were coming from me, not from being led by emotion. So I literally looked up elementary school books about logic.
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely possible to bring some people on board. Go ahead, Dennis.
I was just saying, and Bonnie and I have had this argument on Twitter, which is just a terrible platform to have a deep discussion.
Right.
Nonetheless, we've tried to do that, and I am definitely of the, you know, after my decades, and, you know, and Bonnie, maybe after 40 years or so, she will have the way of converting people. I think that it's Bonnie was of the type She had characteristics, whether they're innate, I suspect they are, or whether they were learned early. But I think that there's also a genetic component that actually allowed her to go and say, I need to understand this. You know, it was just like my friend and I. You know, when we converted, it took 9 months for us to convert. My friend and I, we both came to this synthesis that, you know, was impossible before. But it took 9 hard months, and we stuck with it. We were determined. We were, you know, we were pounding it really and willing to kind of go, okay, there's something wrong here with my thinking. What is that? Most people are just not, they're totally comfortable with A and not A. If you're comfortable with A and not A, it's darn hard to become libertarian.
What is that?
It's the logical
A and not A's.
Oh.
It's the first one.
Go ahead. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so A and not A's is, you know, you have one belief and then you have the opposite belief. And you're holding those two beliefs as true at the same time. So, you know, you can call it hypocrisy, you can call it just logically inconsistent.
You mean like the belief that a lot of people have that you can't trust politicians, but we need the government.
Right.
My favorite was Mitt Romney in 2000, when he was running for presidential. He said that in 2000 he was the CEO of Bain Capital, but he wasn't the CEO of Bain Capital. And he said this in a debate. And conservatives said, yeah, that checks out. That makes sense. Like, no, it doesn't. He literally said he was the CEO and wasn't the CEO in the same sentence.
Well, isn't Biden's wife a doctor but not a doctor?
I don't know.
She's a PhD in education or something silly like that.
We love independence, but we don't like secession.
Yep.
I mean, it's really good to, you know, I'm actually going to work on an instrument to identify who is worthy of your time and effort to convert, which is, for me, it's not really conversion, it's more revealing, the libertarian. But one of them is the person who gets really upset when you do a logical inconsistency. And, you know, their voice, wait, you can't say it. You know, that person there, that person has a chance. Now, there's other things that's required, but that's a really, really good clue that that's somebody who might be able to make the journey. You know, Bonnie, and it's so funny because we know how weird we are. You know, we know how unusual we are. And yet we keep projecting that other people are like us and that they can follow the same path that we took.
I just think
that is so, so wrong. And, it's, you know, I converted a lot of people on Quora, but it took a long time, and they were extremely, extremely intellectual, extremely open, extremely curious. Tell me more about this. You know, so are you saying this versus this? So they were really good into discourse. They were really curious. They wanted to know. A lot of them couldn't make it. A lot of them couldn't make it for a variety of other reasons besides logical consistency. For example, that social ostracization, that they were so scared that they were going to be ostracized, that I can't talk about this anymore. They truncate the conversation. But, you know, I just think it's just so costly. And that's really where I
you're
am now.
Conversion is costly.
Conversion.
I just don't think it has to be.
Supplication.
I don't think it has to be. If you're just putting out there what you believe, you're not, like, what we do on Free Talk Live every single night is basically just say, this is what I believe. A lot of the times people that like to have something negative to say about Free Talk Live, it's, you guys just agree with each other all night. But that's the thing. We're basically on here explaining what we believe. People get to listen to it. People will start listening and say, the first 15 minutes, I was so pissed off that I just couldn't help but get more, and I just kept listening. It's not that we're agonizing. It's not like some kind of hard, hard labor. Like, please understand this. You have to look at this and look at this. We're just saying what we believe, being ourselves, and I think that's the best way. That's how I treat my Twitter. I just say things that are true. All day.
That's essentially.
I've gotten people just straight up ask me, like, Bonnie, what? I see this stuff you say. Like, are you? I don't want to sound dumb, but are you a Republican? What's going on? And they just want to know more.
And that's cool. And that's,
it sucks that they think I'm a Republican, but
yeah. Well, some people think we're communists, depending on who you know,
right?
Depending on who's listening and what their preconceived notions are. And what we do is we do a broadcast, right? So we hit, I don't know, however many hundreds of thousands of people might be listening to the radio right now that happen to be broadcasting this particular episode. And some people who are hearing this maybe are in a place where they can be open-minded enough to ask questions and to listen longer and to come on board.
There's also a lot in there. I mean, it's not just talking into a microphone. That's all it is, like when the show was actually on. But to get to a point where Free Talk Live was being heard by hundreds of thousands people, Ian put in a lot of effort.
I didn't mean it's not work. I just meant that it's not like we're going to one person and being like, okay, what do you believe? Here's why that's wrong. I think that would be agonizing, gotcha. Difficult, impossible,
yeah,
basically.
Sure.
But the other thing I have to ask you, Dennis, is would you believe that there was some kind of mechanistic or gene component in this? If we didn't live in a society where 99% of the people you talk to, maybe not 99, but most people you talk to went to public schools because they are literally trained to not have unity consciousness, to be in constant opposition with their own thoughts and think nothing of it because they're just trained to memorize things. Those things are all true. Those things may conflict each other. They don't think about that because they didn't learn logic. But do you think we would be looking at the same situation if almost everyone you talked to didn't go to public school?
Good question.
I think public school, you know, I don't know if we'll get to it, but, you know, abusing children. I think public schools is one of the greatest abuse of children. It is a mental retardation of their brains, a destruction of their brains,
yes.
An inability for them to think, and kind of intentionally so. You know, I think that the
definitely.
History is shows that, you know, I think it's very sad. I actually started a company, a group, you know, one of my multiple efforts to backdoor into libertarianism. You know, when I realized that conversion didn't work, supplication didn't work, electoral didn't work, you know, being depressed about it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was I worked on some backdoor ways of doing it, but one of them was called Parents Decide. And our motto was my money, my child, my decision. And that was the idea was to rescue people's children from the government schools and give them a different outlet. And I saw that as being key, as you're stating,
yeah.
Bonnie, that if we could get them out of the government's clutches, you know, the just the indoctrination and brainwashing, but also, you know, perhaps teaching them a little bit better to actually think critically. That's a hard thing to do. Thinking critically is hard to do. Most people don't want to do it. So, you know, so I saw that as a backdoor way. Maybe someday I'll tell you about my experiences there. That was a very interesting time.
At what point did you realize, or did you hear about the Free State Project, and, you know, how fast did you make the move out here after you heard about it?
2011, I came up here for a birthday. Carol was out of town, and she said, well, you know, what would you like to do? I had an old socialist friend who had sent me back in 2003, 2004 about the Free State Project, and I discounted it because he was still a socialist, and what the hell does he know? You know, but yeah, I had heard about it, and I finally came up here, and I was only coming up for the day of my birthday. My birthday always falls in Porkfest, during Porkfest.
That's nice.
And so I came up just for that day. And it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life because I had never been around people who started with a premise of self-ownership, of respecting your sovereignty, of respecting you as a human being and not utilizing you as a psychopathic tool. I was going, oh my God, this is incredible. And I could have conversations. I never had those types of conversations, you know, in amongst my groups, even though I was in extremely intellectual groups. And so I called up Carol that night. I said, honey, you know, I know I was going to come back home, tonight, but I'm enjoying myself. I'm just going to stay and I'm going to stay one more day. And then the next night, I called him. I said, honey, you know. So 2011, I spent the whole week there. I came back, 12, 13, I think 13, 14, 13, 14, 15, I brought my daughter. And then I took a long hiatus. I think 15 was a break year for a number of reasons, which we might go into, but it was a break year for me. And then basically it was the end of 2018, that I came up for, to move. So that was my wife by that time. My wife spent many decades kicking me under the table because I would bring up topics and try to still see if I could convert people. And she was always very fearful that that people would be rejecting us for that. But when I started writing on Quora and, she started being able to read the long form, right? So this is an argument to Aria's Twitter. I think of Twitter as a signaling for my gang. Mm-hmm. It's you're putting out a signal and that's it. It's to the already believers.
Right. Yeah.
And or against the people who don't believe, you know, and so it's a good us versus them thing. It is not a good conversion thing. But she actually, you know, after reading about 3 months of my stuff, I wrote 2,000 long form essays on Quora,
mm-hmm.
Almost 2,000. She was like going, you know, okay, I think I understand this. And she's actually the one who suggested we move to the Free State for retirement.
All right. There you go.
And I was like, really? Is that serious? I was so excited.
That is exciting.
We came up, we were looking for a property. We had high criteria. My wife created a, you know, she creates things, and she created this property really fast. We found it really fast. We bought it. We were going to transition over kind of 3-4 years. But just as soon as we had this, I said, I'm not going back to Massachusetts. So we had two houses.
Oh, you were in Massachusetts.
One down in Massachusetts.
Oh,
yep. God. I was in Massachusetts for 4 years. I went there for graduate school.
New York, Chicago, MIT. Massachusetts. Yikes. Talk about out of the frying pan.
I was in the most authoritarian. I mean, Chicago was actually the most interesting because it was so corrupt and they didn't give a darn about mm-hmm. it. They were just like, yeah. We're corrupt, and either you're with us, you're either with us or you're against us. If you're with us, we might give you a little taste, and if you're against us, we're going to steal you, we're going to rob you blind. And it was actually Mayor Daley's Chicago was very upfront about it. Yeah, you know, you go to Boston, they're doing the same darn thing. They're just pretending a lot more. You know, Chicago, they were just out in the open.
We're going to talk about the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We got some background here on how Dennis Pratt, the current organizer of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, found the movement, found the migration of people who love liberty moving here to New Hampshire, as three of us on this show have done, as thousands of others out there have done, thousands more still to come here, I suspect, many, many more. And, of course, come on up to the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival, as Dennis did, and you will likely have that similar experience of, oh, my gosh, this thing's real. I got to get here. There's more coming up. Hour number two is on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.